This Week in Health with Dr. Declan Matthews, kindly sponsored by the Clockgate Pharmacy.
Good afternoon. I'm joined by Dr. Declan Matthews. We're going to have a chat again about COVID. January the 14th today, is it?
Yes.
Did we ever think we'd still be here?
No, we didn't ever think we'd still be here. And in fact, I was here last week with Yvonne. And normally I only come every 2 weeks. But as they say, a week is a long time in politics. It's a very, very long time in medicine, because really the situation this week is 10 times worse than last week.
It is. It's 10 times worse. That's what my first question is. How did we get here? The numbers are crazy. They seem to be blaming socialising at Christmas and stuff. But we did the same for the summer and the numbers were nowhere near as high.
No, but if you remember, going back to when it first started, I said it would occur in sort of like the 1918 Spanish flu. It would occur in sort of waves, and the third wave of that was the worst wave. This has been the worst wave. I feel one of the reasons that we got away with it in the summer is we did socialise, but we socialised outdoors. This year, Christmas, New Year, we socialised. Well, not really New Year, because I think we were shut down by then, but certainly up to Christmas. You know, we were sort of let loose around 13th of December or something like that, and then I think in hindsight, they might have been better off to hold us for another week, or maybe not let us loose at all. But I certainly think we got away lightly in the summer because we did it outdoors, whereas we socialised indoors this time.
Okay, so it's not the new strain?
No, the new strain is there and it is around, but it's certainly not all the new strain.
But
no,
it is more transmissible.
It is more transmissible. There's no doubt about that. But the figures show about a quarter of the cases, I think, are the new strain. So that wouldn't suggest that the new strain is going ape or anything like that. The old strain is still doing its job.
Okay. How do they calculate the death rate? Is the daily number they're giving specifically COVID deaths?
The daily number they're giving is specifically people who died in the last 20, who were diagnosed with COVID in the last 28 days. So a lot of those deaths may not be today, you know what I mean? They could have been a week or two ago, but for whatever reasons, they haven't been informed about them till today. But there is no doubt the death rate in the last few days has been frightening, absolutely frightening.
Yeah, and they said, I know Dr. Hoolan said it's just going to get higher for the next couple of days.
It is going to get higher, because the people, we'll say, probably who are dying now are people who caught COVID about 2 or 3 weeks ago. As you can see, the sort of daily figures were around 6,000-7,000. They're down to around 3,000-4,000 now. So hopefully that shows a trend that it's going downwards. And I think it does show a trend that it's going downwards. And that's probably due to the fact that we're back in lockdown for the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, the message to take out of today, up to now, we have been really, really, really lucky in y'all. We haven't been bad. But believe you me, it's bad now. Assume everybody has it. Stay indoors. If you don't stay indoors, at least keep to yourself. Stop socialising.
Yeah. Are the ICU numbers just COVID patients?
No, the ICU numbers are the normal sort of the heart attacks and the car accidents and all that sort of stuff, even though car accidents are down. The heart attacks, they happen, or people who have to go in for major surgery, they end up in ICU as well. But the huge amount in ICU is COVID.
So when they give the daily figures of ICU, I think it's 170 odd at the moment. Is that just COVID?
That's just COVID. That's okay. 170 people that wouldn't normally be there if we were not in a normal time. You'd still have the, 200 and something probably that's normally there, but the 170 is on top of that, you know, so it's...
Okay. There's a bit of controversy over people working in hospitals receiving the vaccine who are not in direct contact with patients. What's your opinion on this?
I have a very, very, very strong opinion on this. People are sort of saying, oh, you know, hospital managers, cooks and that sort of people in hospitals shouldn't be getting the vaccine. I totally disagree. I think anybody who turns up to work in an Irish hospital at the moment every day deserves to have the vaccine. Obviously, the doctors and nurses who are dealing directly with patients, they should be done first. And once they are done, the other nurses who are dealing with patients. But I do think everybody who turns up to a hospital, there is no easier place to catch COVID at the moment than in a hospital. And these are people, you know, managers, finance people, IT people, electricians, turning up every day to this job into an environment that they know they're running the risk to catch it. I think they should have the vaccine.
Okay. Have you received the vaccine?
I got the vaccine last Saturday, and in fact, all doctors in town were done last Saturday. Practice nurses were done. Some of our receptionists and that were done as well. And again, I have no problem with that. We're seeing people every day. We're running the risk of COVID every day, and we have been since last March without a vaccine. So we received the vaccine last Saturday in the South Infirmary. Never was anybody more delighted to get it than you could see. It was a very joyful joyous atmosphere there, because people have been sort of going to work every day, running the risk of getting it, and now suddenly there is an end in sight.
And were you fine after it?
I was fine. I had a sore arm for a few hours that night, took some paracetamol, that was the end of it.
Okay. When you receive the first dose of the vaccine, can you still get COVID before receiving the second dose?
Yes, you can. More likely in the first few days after receiving the vaccine, because you're not quite immune, you haven't built up the antibodies at that stage. But they do say after about 10 or 11 days, you have a good 90% chance of not catching it.
Okay. How will you know when it's your turn to get the vaccine?
That's a very good question. I don't know. One presumes that people are sitting in offices somewhere now or sitting on Zoom meetings somewhere now working out what's going to happen. I mean, the main movement is going to be when the AstraZeneca vaccine occurs. They've just applied for approval. And the reason this is because it's the easiest one to give. It's the one that can be sent out to GP surgeries. And then you have to look at it like, do we sort of just do it in the four GP surgeries in town, or do we sort of go somewhere like the school uptown and do like they're doing in Israel, which has been brilliant. Israel has a population of 10 million. It has about 1.5 million done already and going to 2 million being done this weekend. And what they did was they just opened up car parks. People drove up in cars and they just gave them the injection. You wonder, should we be looking at something like that for a town like y'all, somewhere like the school,
yeah.
Somewhere like that? Should we work something like that? But I don't know what's going to happen. It hasn't arrived yet. I just hope to God it just doesn't arrive on our doorstep and they say, here, give that out. I hope there's a plan in place beforehand.
Yeah.
But I have heard nothing about such a plan. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Are you happy with the speed of the rollout?
Well, when you look at England and Northern Ireland, they're really, really, really doing well, but they seem to move very, very well. They seem to move, when COVID first came, they seem to got caught on the hop a little bit and didn't handle it well, but they certainly have caught up and they've certainly done very, very well. They have three vaccines on the go there at the moment. I know that there's some cribbing in England about not enough vaccines turning up, especially to the vaccine centres, the big vaccine centres, and also to the GP surgeries, but they're way ahead of us. We're still not bad. You know, compared to France, we're good. Compared to a lot of countries, we're very good. But we're nowhere near what we'll say Great Britain and what Israel have done. And you'd love to see us up our game in that. But I think it's going to be the supply of the actual vaccine is going to be the problem.
Yeah. Does the vaccine only protect you for 18 months?
Good question. We don't know exactly. We probably think it protects you for at least a year. We don't know how long more. And we won't know that because it's only out since last November, December. So we won't know how long antibodies last. So we'll have to wait and see that. But even if you got everybody done this year, the virus should go away after that because it has nobody to infect.
Okay, but it's not that surprising. When I heard that first, it only protects you for 18 months, I was like, oh my God, that's terrible. But the flu vaccine you have to get every year as well, so
absolutely,
it's not that shocking. Like,
No. The flu vaccine you have to get every year. And in fact, the flu vaccine you get every year is usually a different vaccine each year. They're different. They try and predict which flus are going to be around or what viruses are going to be around, and they prepare a vaccine with three of them in it. So it changes every year.
Okay. How are GP surgeries coping? Are you seeing patients?
We are seeing patients. It's tough this week because we got the vaccine last week. We're sort of almost like extra cautious this week because the first week after getting in the vaccine, we're more in danger sort of getting the virus. So we have to be particularly careful this week. But we are still seeing people. We're doing an awful lot of telephone consults. And I have to admit, it's not my favourite way of doing consults. I prefer people in front of me. I prefer talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
But we are seeing people. If somebody has something wrong with them, that needs to be seen.
Yeah.
It will be seen.
If somebody tested positive, are they likely to catch it again?
If somebody tested positive, it looks like if you have the virus, we know from a new study that came out of Oxford last week of about 40 or 50,000 people who had the virus, that they have antibodies for a minimum of 7 months.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, so it's very unlikely that they will get COVID again. As I said here before, you never say never. So there will be one or two who probably will get it a second time, but it'll be greatly reduced. You'll be very unfortunate to get it a second time. And the only reason we know that they have antibodies for 7 months is because this trial only lasted 7 months. And the presumption is if they have antibodies for 7 months, that they may have antibodies for much longer. After this trial, there's been a lot of discussion about if people have had COVID and then they've should they actually get the vaccine, or could we hold off? And it looks like you could hold off vaccinating them for at least 7 months, because we know they have antibodies for 7 months. So people are wondering whether people who've had COVID, proven COVID, could we hold off on giving them the vaccine and give the vaccine to people who haven't had COVID yet, and thereby spread it around and use it more efficiently.
Yeah, yeah, good idea. They're now asking healthcare workers with no symptoms to come back to work. Do other people with symptoms still, or with no symptoms, still need to isolate?
Yes, they do. And I know they're asking people, they're looking into it. They actually haven't asked anybody yet. I think that will be a very last minute desperate move when they actually don't have anybody to man an ICU or to work a ventilator. I think they may do it then. But I know that they're looking into it, but they haven't actually asked anybody yet.
Hopefully we won't get to that point.
Hopefully. If we stay at home, if we isolate, if we keep away from people just for the next 2 weeks, because they say, I get the feeling that the figures are dropping, and I think that this lockdown is working. We just need to give it another week or two.
Okay. If you're living in a house with a positive case, obviously the positive case will be isolating in their room, but there's still a high chance you can get it. How long would it take for another person in the house to show symptoms?
Well, we would advise that the people in the house isolate as well in the house for 14 days, or restrict their movements, or isolate in the house. It's very difficult. They say 14 days. My gut feeling is that if you got over 10 or 11 days, you're probably unlikely to get it.
Okay. There's a lot of fear of people if they need to go to hospital with non-COVID illnesses. Are hospitals safe?
As I said earlier on, I mean, probably a hospital is probably one of the areas where you're most likely to get it, but they're as safe as can be. They have sort of COVID sections and they have non-COVID sections. So if somebody has a life-threatening illness, and it's only somebody with cancer or a heart problem or a breathing problem, something like that, or an acute appendicitis, we will only be sending people up to hospital who absolutely needs to go to hospital. But if they absolutely need to go to hospital, we'll have made the decision with the patient's opinion as well of what's safest for them. And sometimes it's better to go than not to go. Though, as I say, they are safe. They have very good pathways in how to deal with people who don't have COVID.
Okay. Do you think they made the right decision with keeping schools closed?
I don't know. I don't have small kids at home. I'm not trying to educate my small children running around the house and working from home. I think they will have to open them up sooner rather than later, or will have to open them up eventually anyway. I think for now, I wouldn't disagree with it, although, as I say, I don't have small kids, so it's easy for me.
Yeah, they just decided today now that they're going to bring special needs students back on a phase basis from next Thursday?
Yeah, because there is evidence that they're suffering very, very badly. And I would imagine if they're suffering very, very badly, their parents are suffering even worse. So I think that would be almost like a medical necessity to give them some structure into their day again.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's tough. We're living with this terrible virus, but life has to go on as well.
Life does have to go on, and life has to go on. And for most of us, all we have to do is worry, what are we going to have for dinner? What are we going to do tomorrow? When am I going to go for my walk? But if you're looking after a special needs child at home, your worries are 100 times greater.
Yeah. Okay, Declan, thanks very much. And we'll chat again maybe next week.
Lovely. Okay,
Thank
Liz.
You.